Thursday's the big day. We're all eagerly anticipating the table being spread. And when I think about that table being spread, I take so little to that table. The only thing I take to the table, personally take to the table, is an appetite. Somebody texted me this morning and said, this Thanksgiving season, your friendship is high on my list of being of things to be thankful for. And as I thought about it, my mind was drawn to the idea that I just shared with you. I hope that I return to the table as much as you do, bringing or what you bring to the table of friendship. I hope that I bring as much. Somebody can say that they're thankful for something, and we can be thankful for something, but how much are we bringing to the, how much am I taking to the table? I'm sure that the other people at the Thanksgiving dinner are grateful that I'm not providing anything at the table. But in the other sense of friendship, if I can return, bring to the table as much as others bring to the table. So much to be thankful for, though, don't we? What can be said about Thanksgiving? What can be said about Thanksgiving? We either live with a thankful heart as thankful people, or we don't. That's pretty much the bottom line. If a person doesn't have a thankful heart, then the Thanksgiving holiday is probably a sham, or at best, shallow. You don't have to answer, but would you agree with that? If we don't have a thankful heart, if we don't live as a thankful people, isn't the Thanksgiving day, the Thanksgiving season, a sham, or at best, shallow? Because we're only being drawn into a quote-unquote spirit of Thanksgiving during a few days out of the year, probably focusing on the big stuff. There's a lot of big stuff to be thankful for. But there's so many more little things to be thankful for. We talk about protection, and sure, it's a reasonable thing to be thankful for. Protection on the day before today, yesterday, big time, a lot of people, a lot of incidences can take place. But then we might fail to really be as thankful for that protection that he provided the day before yesterday. I mentioned a few weeks ago at the nursing home service, that particular day had an incident in our lives that could have been much worse than what it was. Janae was coming home from school and having some difficulty with her vehicle. She wasn't able to describe to me what was going on. At least it wasn't clicking in my mind what was going on. And I sent her on up the road to pick up Caleb from the ride home from school. And up here on a curve that just a few weeks before that, I believe there was a tragic accident. Natalie and some of the others were there at that particular accident. Right around that same area, her front tire came off. And I didn't realize where she was until I got there and saw where she was. And it's like, whoa, this could have been bad. Thankful. Neighbors, people helped slow the traffic down for her. And I was just taking my time getting some tools together to go get the thing taken care of. Whew. You know, there's big things in life that God reaches in even in the midst of our ignorance and provides what we didn't even know we needed. But how many times God provides just over and over again? I don't want Thanksgiving to be shallow. I don't want Thanksgiving to be a sham for me. I'd like to be able to develop a heart of thankfulness and a life of thankfulness. What kind of a text can we draw on a Sunday before Thanksgiving? What can I preach about? What can any preacher preach about that would stir us to be thankful not just this week, but 52 weeks out of the year? What more can be said? Can I say to you this morning, go and be thou thankful? First Chronicles chapter 6, verse 8, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Is the writer here telling us that that's a part of being thankful, is expressing thanks, telling people what good things have happened? Some people don't even think about being thankful for the ability to get out of bed in the morning because we just take it for granted. Until we ourselves are brought face to face with it, or we realize somebody else is incapable of doing something, then we begin to realize how blessed we are in some seemingly insignificant areas. Be thankful and make known his deeds. It's also said pretty much the same thing in Psalm 105:1. Almost identical words there, making known among the people the deeds that of God, the things that we ought to be thankful for, that we are thankful for. 1 Chronicles chapter 16 again in verse 34. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Just simply, he's good, and that's something worth being thankful for. For his mercy endureth forever. Above and beyond his goodness, his mercy endureth forever. That's something to be thankful for. Things that we ought to be grateful to the Lord for or about. 2 Chronicles chapter 31, verse 2. And Hezekiah appointed the choruses of the priests and the Levites after their choruses, every man according to his service, the priests and the Levites, for burnt offerings and for peace offerings, to minister and to give thanks and to praise in the gates of the tents of the Lord. I wonder what it would be like to have that kind of a job, that's your assignment. That's your assignment. That's all you have to do is praise God, give him thanks, stand in the gates and praise the Lord. Could we do it? Would we have the right personality to do it? You know, just stop and think about it for a while. There's no complaint in there. There's nothing negative there. You can't think of negative thought because it would distract you from your job. Your job is to do nothing but praise. Now, some of you can probably do it quite well. I would have to work at the job. Just to be honest, I would have to work at the job because I do see things that are negative. I do see things that aren't so pleasant. Some of you are blessed. You don't see anything bad. You see good in everybody and good in everything. And that's sometimes a very wonderful thing. And I believe that those are the kind of people that had to be selected for these jobs. To stand and praise God, to give thanks. That was their job. That was their course. That was what they had to do. The psalmist also said in Psalm 30, verse 4, sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. Now, isn't that something? Psalm 97:12 says pretty much the same thing. Rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness. There's a whole message wrapped up in that I won't get into in its entirety this morning, but in order for a person to be thankful for the holiness of God, there's something going to have to happen in their life in order to be doing that, because sinful man shies away from God's holiness. So if God's holiness isn't working in a person's life, they're not going to be able to be thankful for the holiness of God. And here we find the psalmist is saying that we are to be thankful for the holiness, or at the remembrance of the holiness of God. God is holy. God cannot look upon sin. God does not look kindly towards sin. Those are some powerful thoughts as you think about it. We could probably go much deeper than that. Remembering God's holiness and being thankful for it. Psalm 92:1, it's a very familiar verse. When we come to Thanksgiving, we think about it perhaps different times even through the year. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. Psalm 92:1. It is a good thing. Rejoice in the Lord. Over and over again we find, rejoice in the Lord. And oh, give thanks unto the Lord. His mercy endureth forever, and that's something that we are to give thanks for. Over and over we find it. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. I realize that probably the majority of them are found in the book of the Psalms, but it's there in other places too. Psalm 136, the first three verses. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for His mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His mercy endureth forever. It's not hard there to figure out what the focus is, that we are to be thankful, have thankful hearts, live thankful lives to God, the God of gods, to the Lord of lords, for everything that His hand of mercy extends to us. Give thanks unto the God of heaven. The righteous shall give thanks unto thy name. We find in the New Testament pretty much the extent of giving thanks, at least these two words together, are found with one specific thought in mind. Or at least we can draw one specific thought from it. And it's the writings of Paul. Paul uses those two words together. And I believe every time that he uses those two words together, it is in reference, not to things, but to people. He's talking about giving thanks for you. I give thanks for you. He's writing it to the Corinthians. He's writing it to the church of Ephesus. He's writing it to the church of Thessalonica. And he's talking to them about the appreciation that he has for them as people. Family ties in the spiritual sense. Are we family this morning? Probably you're all thankful for family. I mean for blood family, the people that you will sit around the table with on Thanksgiving Day or sit in the living room with on Thanksgiving Day, the people that you will spend time with on Thanksgiving Day. We're thankful for family. As you think about being thankful for family, deep down in our heart, we're grateful for those family members that miss us if we can't make it. Or if we don't make it to the family gathering. Some people don't have any big family thing on Thanksgiving Day. It's just an ordinary day. It's no big deal. It's no change in the schedule, except they don't have to go to work or don't have to go to school. Not a whole lot happening. Maybe their Thanksgiving Day consists of resting up for the night ahead and the day following, all the shopping that is to be done. Doesn't sound very exciting to me. Now, I've taken off from family gatherings on Thanksgiving before, and some people would look at me and say, shame on you, and I've spent time by myself or at least out in God's big sanctuary on Thanksgiving Day. But there's something about being with family. And Paul is telling us we give thanks to God. We thank God always for you. Bound to give thanks always to God for you is what he would say. Are we thankful for people? We could get a little close on Thanksgiving Day, Thanksgiving season, and say, are we thankful for the people that may have caused us hurt or harm? A lot of things to be thankful for. G.K. Chesterton said, I would maintain that thanks are the highest form of thought and that gratitude is happiness doubled by wonder. Highest form of thought. William Law said, would you know who is the greatest saint in the world? It is not he who prays most or fasts most. It is not he who gives most alms or is most eminent for temperance, chastity, or justice. But it is he who is always thankful to God, who wills everything that God wills, who receives everything as an instance of God's goodness, and has a heart always ready to praise God for it. That's some good preaching right there. Some good preaching right back at me. Maybe it is for you too. To have a heart for praise, to receive everything from God's hand with thanksgiving because it comes from the goodness of his heart and always ready to praise God. John Milton said, gratitude bestows reverence, allowing us to encounter everyday divine manifestations or epiphanies, those transcendent moments of all that change forever how we experience life and the world. Gratitude bestows reverence, allowing us to encounter divine manifestation. God spoke to me yesterday in an experience. My wife told me I wasn't allowed to give the details, so I'm not going to give you any details. But as that experience unfolded, and as I've thought about it so many times since then, I don't want my life to be the way that experience was. A divine moment when God speaks to us to where the experience of our life and our world has changed. A.W. Tozer said that a thankful heart cannot be cynical. A thankful heart cannot be cynical. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said it this way, we pray for the big things and forget to give thanks for the ordinary small gifts. And yet really not small. How can God entrust great things to one who will not thankfully receive from him the little things? The little things. John Bunyan said, a sensible thanksgiving for mercies received is a mighty prayer in the Spirit of God. It prevails with him unspeakably. Henry Nguyen said, gratitude as a discipline. Now that's something. Gratitude as a discipline involves a conscious choice. Are we choosing to be thankful? He went on to say, I can choose to be grateful even when my emotions and feelings are still steeped in hurt and resentment. let it not be so that we have to be steeped in hurt and resentment. But even in the midst of that, it's a conscious choice to be thankful, he said. It went further. He said, it is amazing how many occasions present themselves in which I can choose gratitude instead of a complaint. I can choose to be grateful when I am criticized, even when my heart still responds in bitterness. I can choose to speak about goodness and beauty, even when my inner eye still looks for someone to accuse or something to call ugly. Do we choose thankfulness? It would seem to me that the more we choose thankfulness, the less these other issues, the issues of bitterness or resentment, could build within a person's life. C.H. Spurgeon said, if you are not content with what you have, you would not be satisfied if it were doubled. If you are not content with what you have, doubling it wouldn't satisfy you either. Are we thankful for what we have? William Law said, receive every day as a resurrection from death, as a new enjoyment of life. Meet every rising sun with such sentiments of God's goodness as if you had seen it and all things new created upon your account. And under the sense of so great a blessing, let your joyful heart praise and magnify so good and glorious a creator. Matthew Henry brings a different slice into the picture. He said, I thank thee first because I was never robbed before. Second, because although they took my purse, they did not take my life. Third, although they took my all, it was not much. And fourth, because it was I who was robbed and not I who robbed. That's a different side of the painting. Chesterton said, when we were children, we were grateful to those who filled our stockings at Christmas. Why are we not grateful to God for filling our stockings with legs? You can take that a little bit further, can't you? Filling our sleeves with arms, our gloves with hands, our shoes with feet. So many things that quite frankly we probably take far too much for granted than what we ought to. George MacDonald. The careless soul receives the Father's gifts as if it were a way things had of dropping into his hand, yet he is ever complaining, as if someone were accountable for the checks which meet him at every turn. For the good that comes to him, he gives no thanks. Who is there to thank? At the disappointments that befall him, he grumbles. There must be someone to blame. Did you catch that? It's easy not to give thanks because who is there to give thanks to? But when it comes to grumbling, we can grumble when there's nobody there to grumble to. Somebody said this, and I know that you've heard it before. You've probably read it a number of times. Different wording here than what you've probably or possibly read, but be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Paul the Apostle said that in 1 Thessalonians. Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. maybe difficult sometimes to be thankful in all circumstances because we would focus on the details of those circumstances rather than realize that through those circumstances, God can do something good. Rather than seeing that all things work together for good, we see the circumstances. And the circumstances themselves are not something that we want to be thankful for, but we can be thankful through the circumstances that God can do something good, that He can make something beautiful, and we can find thankfulness in our heart. The king of Israel, David, said, "Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord. Thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come to thee. Thou reignest over all, and in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great, to give strength unto all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name." What a prayer. A praise prayer from King David in 1 Chronicles 29. Beautiful words. "Now we give you praise. Praise and to thy glorious name." Jesus taught us something very quickly this morning as well about praise or about thanksgiving. It's found in the book of Luke, chapter 17. It's a story that we're familiar with, I'm sure. It doesn't take us very long growing up into the church to realize and hear this story read and perhaps preached on. Luke 17, 12. "As he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' And when he saw them, he said unto them, 'Go show yourselves unto the priests.' And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus answering said, 'Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger,'" referring to him as a Samaritan. "And he said unto him, 'Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole.'" You say, well, what is it that Jesus is teaching us about thanksgiving? It could be that he's teaching us about this person who was least likely to be thankful. The Samaritan. That he would come back to Jesus, a Jew, and be thankful for what he had received. He was a stranger, is what this passage would tell us. We would also understand that he would have been considered a dog in some of these ranks, in some of these parts. Why would he come back? There's three words that seem that can jump off of the page if we but notice them, and that we can use in our own world, in our own lives. Three words: when he saw. Did the others, the other 9, did they just take it for granted? Did they think that it was just simply an unalienable right that they be healed, and they took it for granted? But when this one saw, when he noticed, when he received, or his attention was brought to the reality of what had happened, he realized how blessed he was. He was changed. He had received something that he could not have demanded. He received something that he could not have even expected. He received something that he did not deserve. But when he saw it, when he noticed it, he was thankful. I ask myself the question in closing: what is it about life that I'm noticing? And are there any things in my life, in my world, that I fail to notice. Because if I don't notice them, I won't be thankful for them. Do you catch that? He noticed and he was thankful. We have so much to be thankful for. We focus in on it this week. We really drill it into our thinking. We think about it probably every day through this coming week, the things that we are thankful for. But are there some things that I'm not noticing? To be thankful, even from the hand of God. What can be said on Thanksgiving Sunday? And he saw, or he noticed, and went and thanked God for it. Let's stand together this morning. Praise God from whom